Bring people on the journey to a future that they don't see yet, which is fun, exciting, challenging.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking sometimes.
Help me welcome the man who went from having his own car wash business at 12 years old to now the CEO and co-founder of the biggest nootropic drink here in Australia, my friend, Mr. Steve Chapman.
I love the game. I really love the game of business. I think learning is earning. And I think ultimately you'll grow and your company will follow. Ultimately, if you want to keep growing your company, you got to keep growing yourself.
People listening to this, right? They've got an idea. They want to create a drink,
a product.
What should their first year look like?
I think get obsessed with...
If you were to go back to your 18-year-old self and give him 30 seconds of advice, what would it be?
I'd love to tell him...
Welcome to the Dream Out Loud family, where young entrepreneurs come to learn the tips, tricks, and attitude of what it takes to live their dream life. I'm your host, Morgan T. Nelson, a former carpenter who created financial freedom by the age of 23 and have since spent my time traveling around the world living my dream life, inspiring, educating, and teaching other young people how they can do the same. Each and every week, I'll bring you the most epic guests who are going to share their stories, wisdom, tips and tricks on how they've been able to create a life by design. Here at Dream Out Loud, we're committed to helping inspire and educate you to be able to execute your full potential. All right, guys, today's guest is the co-founder and CEO of Shine Nootropic Drink, which is Australia's first nootropic drink that's been specially developed to help people think, feel, and do better. Shine has been awarded several awards, such as the Small and Succeeding Business Award of the Year, the number one fastest growing beverage brand in Australia, and in 2022, the Distributors Small Beverage Supplier of the Year Award. So please help me welcome the man who went from having his own car wash business at 12 years old to now the CEO and co-founder of the biggest nootropic drink here in Australia, that has sold over 25 million bottles nationwide, my friend, Mr. Steve Chapman.
Thank you, mate. Be it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Stop shine.
Right. I'm pumped because I've become obsessed with these things over the past, like, I don't know, 6 months, 12 months. Like I was saying to you before I started, like, I've loved, like, all these nootropics, ashwagandhas, the adaptogen herbs, all these sorts of things I've used them for years. So it's so... freaking cool to see you guys bring not only a good tasting drink to market, but something like paving the way. So
yeah, well, I think when we started, there was no one else, I guess, playing with nootropics and putting them in drinks. It was like coffee or energy drinks were the two options, and we were like, "Where's the Ginkgo biloba? Where's the mate? It was ginseng, green tea, B vitamins, L-theanine." So we end up combining all of them. Obviously, have natural caffeine in it, so it does give you that pick me up, but has all those other benefits to mind as well.
So, where did the idea come from for you for like the nootropic side of things?
I was working with my business partner, my co-founder, Sam Prince, who's a doctor, worked with him for the last 10 plus years, and I was he was my mentor. I worked directly under him for many, many years, helping him across his businesses and just working super long hours. You know, I'd get up at 4:24, work until 10, 11 p.m. every night, including weekends, and you know, it's like, how do we stay sharp? And we say focused, and we say concentrated that long. And Sam was doing speeches at night, or we're doing, you know, meetings all day, or hiring people, you know, strategy sessions, everything that you need to do in a day. And, you know, costs to stay fit and healthy and go to the gym and exercise. And we thought there's got to be a better option than just heaps of caffeine from coffee or like a full sugar energy drinks. And, you know, we stumbled across Sam from more of a scientific medical benefit perspective, nootropics and the benefits behind that from a research perspective, and then me through like Reddit and like just going down a rabbit hole on Reddit and kind of discovering these things that have weird and wonderful concoctions that we could try.
Right.
So we started mixing them up just ourselves, put them in teas and waters and coffees, and end up realizing one, they work, and then two, no one had done it, I guess, globally. Very few people had done it globally, no one in Australia. I thought, let's give it a crack.
Very cool. Are you guys global with this? Is this
with New Zealand?
Yeah,
and a couple of test cases outside of Australia, but at the moment, you know, there's still millions of people in Sydney that haven't heard of Shine or True Shine, so I want to kind of win in the backyard before we go too far overseas.
Which is crazy, because do you know how long is there some sort of study out there that takes product-based companies X amount of year before it hits
like a saturation point in the country? Do you know of anything? Because you guys have been going since 2017. We kind of really got started, which is a while, right?
Yeah, like it feels like forever. Some breaths and other breaths, it feels like we've started.
Yeah.
So I would say, look, Red Bull and V, you know, V Energy is still growing. They've been around for 20, 25 years, and they're still growing 8-10% a year. You know, Energy Drinks Australia is about a $1.5 billion category. So there's 150 million new sales coming into the category. It's still the fastest growing beverage category. You know, there's so much upside still. So we're just getting started in a lot of ways. Energy, in fact, any Australian brand, she hasn't done a great job with exporting overseas. Like, we're not great overseas usually.
Why do you think that is?
I think a lot of people follow trends from the US, and then they export good ideas and import them to Australia. Coconut water, jar, energy drinks. Thankfully, Shine was actually one of the first globally. We were trying to get into the US before and started taking off. But I think we've been focused here in Australia. There's a bunch of international players, and there's us in Australia. So I think globally it would be still be one of the biggest. And we've probably got plans to get there in the next 12.
Exciting. Very cool, man. So what you said, so your business partner, what's his record?
Dr. Sam Krentz is, you know, a billionaire now. He's sold a medicine. Oh, he's like a not-for-profit doctor out of this. He started as a doctor. Born in Sri Lanka, raised in Canberra. Started a Mexican restaurant called Zambrero. Scaled that to...
Zambrero?
Yeah.
Ah, so he's the founder of that?
Yeah, he's the founder of Zambrero.
Wow.
I started that back in 2005 in Canberra, one store. Scaled that now to 220 plus globally. Whilst also being a doctor and you know, public health aid worker with his next practice, franchise clinics, plus his one disease, which I've also helped out with from an Aboriginal health perspective. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible guy, all rounder. So I worked with Sam for 3 years before starting Shine with him, and I guess as a supportive investor and mentor and chairman and thing.
I love that. So is this your first business?
We just have the car watch. Oh, always had businesses, I think. I did the car wash stuff. I was importing GHDs, you know, on eBay and selling them to people around in the eastern suburbs.
Where was that?
This is when I was like 15, 16.
No way.
And then the customs kind of got up me a bit, going like, where's import tax and GST and company registration? And I had like 15 grand of GHDs. I was like, send it back. And then went into PwC as an accountant. Straight from high school, like 2 weeks when I finished high school, I started there, and then quickly realized I liked starting businesses and running businesses more than an accountant auditing businesses. So they started an app called FaceBuy, which ended up getting sued and shut down by Facebook, and lost $100,000 doing that.
You did?
Yeah. So that was like 2021, and then from that experience and that kind of like abyss of failure, you know, how the hell did I get this so wrong, losing all that money, plus publicly I just felt super ashamed. I started network marketing with a company called Vima, which is held the energy drink for.
So I was this close to joining Vima.
Well,
I remember somebody, like I was 18 years old. I was 18, and this dude I knew, some, you know, put this thing on social media, made this much money on this week, my part-time business, some shit. I was like, yeah, bro. Like, I was an apprentice cop, and I was like, yo, what's this?
Yeah.
He's like, man, come down. It's like energy drinks. So you share it. And I was thinking, dude, I could kill this. Like, I drink energy drinks.
Yeah.
Everyone drinks energy drinks.
Yeah.
And my, I remember my mom's husband looks at me and goes, no, that bullshit's a pyramid scheme. And I'm like, what's a pyramid scheme? So they're scamming you. So I was like, at 18, I was like, oh, well, I don't want to do that then.
Yeah. So get out.
When you get, I did 3 years later, then I decided network marketing properly and actually researched it properly. And I was like, oh, that's not a pyramid scheme. And then did very freaking well with it.
Fuck. Yeah. So that was kind of, I was like trying to make the startup work before they got finally shut down and sued. And I had no money from that. So,
we got sued, right?
Yeah, we actually became, I got sued, I guess. It happened in the same way. The FaceBuy app got a cease and desist letter from Facebook and Zuck's legal team. And then that same week, Vima got, end up being initially confirmed as a pyramid scam and got shut down. And I had hard sold all of my friends onto Vima. And then it's like, I've lost like all the money, all this actual legitimate business, plus all my social reputation. Convinced everyone it was a social pyramid scheme, and then it was a dark week. And from that led, I guess, to a whole new path in my life, which changed it forever.
How long did it take you to get out of that pit, if it was a pit, and to get back on the wagon and start
clutching? Deep dark pit.
Was it?
Yeah, it was tough. I think when I was coming out of high school, I got a pit overseas, and I was in business, university, and my parents are proud of me, and everything was looking pretty rosy. And, my identity, my ego, loved it. Had a corporate card in City at PwC when I was 18 and wearing a suit with tie. Then I had this, startup and things like that, was getting a lot of press and was working really well. And then all of it just kind of crashed overnight. And it was like a fourth foot heaven. And it just, that reality just woke me up pretty quickly. I think for me, it was like pain plus reflection equals progress. Like Greg Dalio talks about that. Now, I had a lot of pain. So then it was like, okay, what's the reflection in this? And I realized I had this ego. And Marcus Aurelius talks about the impediment to action advances action. The obstacle becomes the way. So it's like, okay, if ego is my obstacle, then the way forward is humility. And I wanted to learn humility, and particularly around optimizing with the game of business. So I ended up reaching out to a bunch of different mentors, and ultimately that's how I found Sam and Sam Prince, who I wanted to learn and study under him as his apprentice so he could mentor me full time. And ultimately we did that as a PA, then more of an EA, and then more of a 2IC across his companies for 3 years prior to Shine. So that was like me learn humility, which is like be a PA, like get Sam to have coffees, take meeting notes, drive around, get dry cleaning, whatever was needed, get sandwiches. As long as I could be in the room, listen, watch, shut up, don't say anything, fully commit to the learning path on personal development. I read 500 books, stopped drinking for 3 years. Probably didn't hang out with anyone socially, just worked all the time, worked to myself one time on the gym. But that just transformed my life and my mindset and everything that I came out of that as a listening person that I went in.
And that, what's been the biggest challenges you guys have faced growing this company?
For Shine, it's been always kind of tethering the balance between our ambition and reality. How quickly we want to grow versus how quickly the market or retailers or consumers want us to grow is always different. I think me trying to wrap my ambition around the market is tough because it's an uphill battle. Like you're forcing a product that never asked to be existed or born into the world, and then convincing consumers or retailers why it's the next big thing and the next Red Bull. And some people believe immediately, some people believe after 5 years. So there's still retailers that are like, still don't see it. While there's a bit on journey for 5 years gone, this is the top growing selling company, beverage brand that they've launched. But we're still like 1/10 of what Red Bull is in Australia, if not maybe 1/20. So there's still so much upside, but the journey from when it started to where it is now, there's a lot of stuff we should be proud of. So, we're trying to bring people on the journey to a future that they don't see yet, and I didn't see inside, which is fun, exciting, challenging, heartbreaking sometimes. What do you think you get to do about it, and it pulls over the last minute?
How have you guys gone about doing that? Like, because I feel like this is like entrepreneurship 101, right? It's like you have a vision, you've got the vision, you see what you want, and be able to articulate that message to other people. In your case, you need to articulate that so clearly to people that will buy into this and sell your product. So what's your aim? Like, what's your strategy? How do you articulate that vision, that message to the world?
I think Jeff Bezos said it best, where it's like, Amazon doesn't try and predict what's going to be the thing in 1 year's time. It's like, what's not going to change in 10 years? And then do that. So like play long-term trends, long-term gangs with long-term people. So do I think 7-Eleven's going to be here in 10 years? Yeah. Do I think Woolworths and Coles are? Yes. So cool. They're like the long-term people we want to play with. And then like, what is long-term gangs that are going to move? So like energy drinks. It's been around for 25 years. It's growing 10% a year. It's not going anywhere in the next 5 to 10 years. In fact, you'd argue Coca-Cola was the original energy drink with sugar, caffeine, and other substances, 120 years ago. So you're like, over 120 years, it's still here. It's still one of the biggest brands in the world. In fact, I think they rank it maybe one or two in the world in terms of brand recognition.
Yeah.
Pepsi's one of the biggest brands in the world. That's the same caffeinated carbonated drink. Coffee, like Nescafe, is one of the fifth biggest beverage brand in the world. Fifth biggest consumer brand in the world, which is also a caffeinated beverage. So it's like caffeinated beverages, particularly carbonated ones, they don't go anywhere. It takes a long time for them to kind of shift paths. And Red Bull is one of the biggest brands in the world as well. So when I look at beverage trends, you go like kombucha, that kind of comes and goes. Coconut water comes and goes. I don't know, whatever's next. Probiotics, prebiotics. Like, they're like little niche pop-ups that are the cool, hot new thing. But I'm going to play in a game that doesn't really go anywhere. Like, the second reason why anyone buys a beverage is for pick-me-up, like an energy lift.
What's the first reason? Hydration.
So like an 87% of hydration, and they often get other benefits, you know, outside of just hydration. So the second one, 44% of people buy it, and should pick me up of some sort of form.
Yeah.
And then it drops off massively to number three, which might be like protein. I don't know. So you go like play long-term games, like energy's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
120 plus years. Also like people moving towards healthier options as well. Like that's the show anyway. So like healthy energy feels like a good, I guess, tailwind. So that's not going anywhere anytime soon. And we want to, I guess, show retailers we're not here to the end goal tomorrow. We're in fact like a massive option for them. We're aligned to not just what we're saying is the truth, but what market's saying is where we're moving towards. So
yeah,
aligning ourselves. So it's a win-win. Needs to win for them. Needs to make sense to their strategy. And we need to develop our products and strategy to align to them. So
yeah.
Ultimately, it's a win for both.
Like, first thing, like, I just put myself in your shoes on my way here. And I was like, if I was going to do something like this, surely there's like Australian laws and regulations and things like this. Have you run into any roadblocks? Or, like, because I know the Australian, I know for this sort of health and wellness stuff, they're so strict compared to like the US. Have you run into any roadblocks with them? Have they knocked back any things that you want to do? Or
yeah, there's always competitors that will dove us in and, you know, like report us to the food standards, whatever it may be. And that's happened a few times.
Right.
But thankfully, it's good. Like, we get updates from them saying, this is what you're doing well. Maybe change this, maybe don't.
So what are some things that they didn't like?
I think there's like people that might get confused between what's marketing and what's like claims and things like that. Thankfully, we've always been very much clear on claims, like, and stayed far away from claims and been very much in marketing. Like, on every can of Red Bull, it says it energizes body and mind, revitalizes body and mind. And then on every counter V, it says like invigorates body and mind. So I've seen things like energizing the mind, like that's fine, that's marketing. Think feel do better. Like it's all puffery.
Yeah.
But it can communicate to consumers, I guess, what's in the drink and what the benefits are without making any specific or organ claim or specific like this is scientifically benefited to prove increase in memory by 30%. So I think there's a difference between actually scientifically claims and then just like marketing. So
does that weaken? Because I know a Reaper, which
I
don't think they're a nootropic, are they?
Yeah, I'd say they're a nootropic.
They are?
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of science-based like claims almost. Is that where the line is if it's backed by like science evidence?
Well, I just say Reaper's come from New Zealand.
Yeah.
So they're under the New Zealand Trans-Tasman Act. If it's manufactured in New Zealand and it's allowed there and it's allowed here, but they, if they manufactured their product in Australia, it wouldn't be allowed because it doesn't hit the food standards guidelines of what's allowed and that stuff. They've got some ingredients in there that are not allowed in Australian food standards, but are allowed in New Zealand food standards. So therefore it gets a loophole there. But they don't have caffeine. So like I know Angus, Reaper's a good product, good brands with the category, educating consumers on what nootropics are. They approach it from a non-caffeinated way.
Yeah,
more of an energy caffeinated perspective of nootropics, but we share some similar ingredients as well.
Yeah. So talk to us, what's been, so you guys have been 6 years, 7 years now, right? And then 95% of businesses don't make it past 5 years. What was the first 5 years like for you guys here?
What's up, Dream Nation? Have you ever wondered how far ahead your life would have already been if you had got access to this type of content at a younger age? Look, this is why I need your help. I'm trying to build the number one personal development platform out there to teach you guys the tips, tricks, and attitude of what it takes to live your dream life and to bring the type of education that we all wish we had in school. This show only grows by word of mouth and new subscribers, so it would mean the world to me if you could smash that subscribe button right now, leave us a 5-star written review, or drop a comment below and share this episode with a friend. I would be forever grateful. All right, now let's get back into this episode.
I love the game. I really love the game in business. So for me, it's like exhilarating and it's fun, and it's like almost like you're playing a new level of Halo or a new level of Call of Duty. Like you kind of like get your mods and you kind of figure out how to use the sniper and you figure out how to run around and, you know, level up. So I like I like to let them up, and you get such immediate feedback. You know, the first few years of business, where like every week you learn something significantly big. We've got a concept called win or learn, where it's just like, we're a great kid doing that. We learn, like, cool, what was the lesson from that potential mistake or failure? And then how do you implement that and just keep leveling up in your skills and your capabilities? So there's just a lot of learning. And I love learning. So that's all positive for me. The first 5 years, as I said, like sometimes you want to be so much further than you are. And it's just nice to maybe pause and back. But actually, we've done a bit. Like, we've created a new category and we've sold $6 and $7 million worth of the stuff. And it's like, it's working. Do I want to have sold $600 million worth of stuff? For sure. Will I get there? Yes. You learn patience and, you know, hold out.
Yeah. So what do you guys think is the key to get it to that $600 million? Do you think it will happen in just Australia, New Zealand, or is it the key to that is global expansion?
I think $600 million in retail sales would be tough just in Australia. Yeah, and you can probably make it work. I'd say Red Bull, yeah, and energy drinks in Australia is 1.5 billion. 40% is fee, 40% Red Bull.
Like, that's annually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So you kind of talk in like day after it does 450, 500 million. Iced coffee. So like you could get around those numbers in Australia, New Zealand, just being the number one Australian energy drink.
Yeah.
Could we do that in 10 years? For sure.
Yeah.
I think so. Is it going to be quicker and easier to do it with international? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Do you run into any unexpected hurdles?
Every day. Every day. If I'm not getting something in my inbox on a daily basis that something's wandering, some problem
somewhere,
then I'm like, what's everyone doing? Like, who's everyone taking the day off?
Funny that my girlfriend said to me the other day, she goes to work and she goes, what are you doing today? So I'm working. She said, but what are you doing though? Torrance, fixing every fucking problem that just comes in my inbox. That's today. It's like, there's not a hell of a lot booked in today, but I know it will be filled by the end of the day. Like, it's just, that's part of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got to have a love and passion for problem solving.
Yeah.
And I think we have a unique perspective to look across multiple domains, both in the past with experience and also in the future with trends and insight, to then go, okay, based on all this subconscious data, this is the best way forward. So you know, it's a blessing and a curse. Like, only now, thankfully, I've got 10 or so people here, like only the worst problems get escalated at me. So like, by the time I get to my desk, like they're big problems.
Yeah.
Or opportunities. You know, the little minutia stuff, thankfully, you know, these guys are super talented. They get most of them solved. So it's the blessing, like, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't get my desk anymore, but when they do, when it does, it's, they're usually like, the factory's burnt down. Oh, yeah. Well, some employees got a big problem. So, like,
yes. Where is Shine created? Where do you?
We've got three manufacturing sites, two in Sydney, one in Melbourne.
Cool. And ingredients sourced from overseas or?
Both locally and overseas. We use our functional ingredients from like pharmaceutical companies. So we want to like make sure they're like the best in the world. So like, yeah, they come from probably Germany.
Yeah.
In terms of pharmaceutical quality. And then, you know, good Australian water for sure.
Love it. What has been your best hire?
I'd say my first hire was a guy called Andrew Duez. And he, I'd say, is definitely co-founder of Shine. He's just in the trenches with me from the first 3 years. We pretty much split business. I was sales, marketing. He was operations, supply chain. You know, I'd go sell it. You'd figure out how to make it and ship it out. He was similar to how I got an apprenticeship through Sam.
Mm-hmm.
I took all those lessons from the work that I'd done and learned from Sam, and then tried to pass on those lessons to Drew. So he became, I guess, a bit of an apprentice. But Soldering became my best mate, and we had a great time for the first 3 years. And then he ended up starting his own company. And then he's got an apprentice, and it's called Zadoto, C1, Do One, Teach One, where we kind of just keep passing them the gift of entrepreneurship through apprenticeship.
That's really cool. So he was more like the integrator.
Yeah, I think, yeah, visionary integrator for use and attraction kind of model a bit.
Yeah.
He was pivotal. He helped formulate it. He was there from pre-name. He was pre-everything. He was him trying to figure it out.
Yeah. And who's been your worst hire? Or what's been your worst hire?
To be honest, man, I had probably my oldest friend that I hired into the business. And I think it's always tough to do business with friends who are friends first and then not colleagues first. And I wanted him so badly to shine and, you know, keep giving him a few chances and who's going through his own personal challenge, and I believed in him at the time, maybe more than he believed in himself. I knew that I'd be down a couple of times, which was the toughest one to be let down, and felt through those frustrations, and then often have to kind of let him go and moving on to green pastures. That was a tough decision. But, you know, we caught up today, actually, this morning for the first time in a couple of years, and he's in a great place, and we're happy to see him on his own journey.
It's good. So I love the whole concept of that you guys have done here, like in the establishment, the company you've created. If knowing everything you know now, right, about how old are you now?
30.
You're 30?
Yeah.
Damn, I'm 30 in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So knowing everything you know now, if you were to restart this company, what would you do different?
I'd probably get to mainstream appeal soon. I think we started in niche, nootropics. Let's educate the world about nootropics for too long. We had a little shot. We had a very much a health tonic kind of look and feel to it. I think when we figured out people wanted energy, not nootropics, people wanted the benefit, not so much the ingredient. That was a really key insight. Pretty late, probably three years in. And then, you know, with our cans and with our 500 mils and 250 cans, you know, that's just resonating with the consumers so much quicker than what we had for the first 2-3 years with our kind of health tonic, you know, nootropic shot. So yeah, I'd go mainstream. I'd probably look at profitability sooner and just think about how do we make sure there's the unit economics behind each bottle, making sure we can run a profitable business, because it's tough in the game of manufacturing where you need volume to get any sort of efficiencies through supply chain. So it's a bit of chicken and egg, but ultimately, it is hard, but if you lose money every month for years, it gets a bit scary.
Mm. Did you start with much capital?
Dan invested some money, and I put about 20 in.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, here's a bunch of money and go for it. It was like, I need to prove out every month that we're on the right track, and almost like raise money every month from Sam. Be like, hey, it's, you know, give me another 10, please.
Because to re-pitch him.
Pretty, like, you know, obviously not every month, but that's ultimately, I was judged on every month's results. And then if it wasn't going in the right direction and it weren't selling, it weren't growing, and we didn't have a deal come in, they would be like, man, I'm not putting any money to it so they can cheer. But every month we had a new deal, we had a national launch coming up, we had new products, sales were increasing every month for 7 years. So there was a point where he's like, look, enough's up. And then we raised money externally.
Yeah.
And brought on some other cool investors in the journey back in 2019. And we haven't raised.
So for the people listening to this, right, and they've got an idea, they want to create a drink, a product, mm-hmm. a bar, something. What should their first year look like? Like going from idea to like, I want to create this thing and sell it. And
I think get obsessed with consumer that you're solving the problem for. I think get as close as possible to understanding what their true needs are, understand the market trends, understand what the reason is they've swapped, why it's like good enough to swap. Like behavior change takes some effort, so it's got to be worth the swap. And then I'd get really, particularly in a consumer product business, I'd get extremely detail focused about what are the velocities and the rate of sale getting in for a store. So like in the cafe across the road or the mini mart, like how many turns to do it? How many rate of sale per the week? How do you get that from 2 to 5 to 10? Like what promotions or price points? Like understand the business mechanics, what's going to drive velocity up. And once you get to the point where you've proven your business model out, it's proven in a demographic, then start scaling it. I think people maybe jump to scale a bit too quickly and they ultimately have a leaky bucket where it doesn't matter how many places they put it in, it doesn't sell. So eventually they got to keep finding more places to fill the bucket, but you know, they're just going to catch up.
And based off, I saw a bunch of books out there and a few of the quotes and stuff you said. So I know you've got a big, like you've been in personal development for a while. You've
read
500 books, you said.
Probably up to maybe 700, 800 now.
Fucking wild. How much has that played a difference in the way you lead yourself and this company?
I think learning is earning. And I think ultimately you'll grow and your company will follow. So ultimately, if you want to keep growing your company, you got to keep growing yourself. And ultimately, here at Giant, we try and double every year. Like our revenue, I'm not blind. So me as a leader, I need to double every year. I need to be getting better in leadership and communication, sales and negotiations in whatever it may be, supply chain. We'd hire any of our people, could be anything financing. So that's kind of my duty if I want to hit the P&L number, I'm going to hit that internally with my own self. So I think any idiot can learn from their own experiences. The true competitive advantage comes from the experience of others. And there's like these things called books where people have written down their experiences, and the best of us, like the best humans of all time, have literally written down their best lesson in a book for us to read in an hour or 5 hours. It's like, why would we do that? Like, that's such a hack. That's such a shortcut. That's such like a map of the world has been written for us, and it's getting easier and easier now with ChatGPT and Books on Reason, Blinkist, and Audible books. And you do that while you go for a warm. It's like, how would you not train your mind and body at the same time? So, it's a no-brainer. It's been probably the number one thing I've ever done in my life. That and probably stopped drinking alcohol for a few years were the two things that probably changed my life the most.
That's wild. What are your top five books for a CEO?
Ego is the Enemy.
I've heard it. I didn't read it.
It's good. It's
really Ego is the Enemy.
Obstacle is the Way, filmed a double tap on Ryan Holiday. From sticking with Stoics, I'd say like a meditation by Marcus Aurelius. You know, as a Roman emperor, leading hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people, the world's greatest army. And he's just like doing his personal journey about how to like lead and control himself and control his emotions and that kind of stuff. Then pursue specifically for CEOs of business. I think marketing is super important. It's like This Is Marketing, maybe by Seth Godin. Anything else? Maybe like How to Make Friends and Influence People, like a classic.
A go-to. I think that was like the first audiobook I listened to.
That was my first, like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I was like, and I found it mind-blowing. I was like, same as what you were saying. It's like the fact that, like, I read my first book when I was 23, cover to cover.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I did a couple of audiobooks. And when I started getting into the audiobooks and like Jim Rohn audios and all these sorts of things, I was like, this is crazy that no one ever A, taught me this stuff in school, or B, at least suggested, hey, you don't like these books, why don't you pick up one of these books?
Yeah.
Because like I've met a lot of people who don't like to read To Kill a Mockingbird again.
Yeah.
But I've never met anyone who's picked up Personal Development book, read it, and said, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think we all have this absolute obsession to continually grow.
Yeah. For sure. I remember that my brother was obsessed with Harry Potter, and he would get through that all the time. I just couldn't get past his chapter. And he, you know, had some speech impediment issues, and I probably called me dyslexic a few times. And I was like, oh shit, like I just can't read. I don't like reading. And it just wasn't part of my identity at all. And then I picked up Branson's biography and I read it normally cover in a weekend. I was like, what the hell just happened? It was like some magic spell got put over me that I read, you know, Branson for the first time. I could read a book, and then How to Win Friends and Influence People, and Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, you know, Blink and Malcolm Gladwell. All these Seth Godin guys, I was like, oh, and that's couldn't stop. And you know, probably don't read as much today as I did 10 years ago, but
yeah,
I was obsessed for many years for sure.
Fuck, what was I gonna ask you about? All right, the day in the life of a CEO. So, what are some things that you do on a day to day basis that allows you to perform at a high level for your business and without dying in your personal life?
Choice a lot of shine.
A lot of shine.
Look, I'm going to say nutrition's key. Like, we've got to fuel our body. Nootropics and shine is obviously an interesting part of that. But I think for me, like, deep diet, sleep, and exercise are the fundamental three. Like, you got to sleep well, you got to eat well, you got to train well. So they're like non-negotiables over time. Make sure they're like rock solid in terms of foundations to just have the energy to show up. I think there's an obsession with time management. It's probably more about energy management of like, how do you actually have the energy to keep going from 4 a.m. to 10 p.m.? Most people kind of get bored and tired and sick and run down and things like that. So that was probably part one, is like just the fundamentals for energy management around sleep, diet, exercise. I think always keeping the mind sharp. So books, podcasts, audiobooks, conversations with amazing smart people, different perspectives coming in. I think it can get a little bit insular sometimes.
Mm.
I think content and creating is super important. And it's like, how do you actually put some accountability to your ideas and thoughts by, one, articulating them to other people? So you actually express what you think, maybe documenting it, maybe sharing it with the team, maybe doing an email blog, whatever it could be. I think it's important that we are updating our own mental scribe, so over time we actually can see our thoughts progress and evolve. And then I'd say making sure you're probably surrounded by people smarter than you.
Facts. What are you doing now to keep making sure you're around those people? Because I don't know about you, but I find it harder and harder. Like, the more you, it's like that mentality helped me get to where I am, right? And now I'm like, well, shit, when you continually keep climbing, it does get harder and harder to keep going around people doing a lot better.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
I just joined an amazing organization called Entrepreneurs Organization.
EO Group.
Yeah.
My mate Reese is in it.
Okay, cool. Yeah,
I was thinking about joining.
Yeah, mate, I would 100% recommend it. Mm. I was just the president of the city chapter for last year. Been in there for 5 years. I absolutely love it. So that's a forums, you know, structured. There's someone organizing it. You've got a forum. You've got amazing entrepreneurs, you know, both locally, and then there's a global organization behind it, which you've got 10,000 entrepreneurs globally to tap into. So I did that and hope, you know, stepped up with being a moderator, then on the board, and then president. So I had access to hundreds of I guess, thousands of entrepreneurs across Australia and the world. So that was just epic networking opportunities. And the best part about EO is, like, it's not a business card swap who, you know, try and pitch them. It's like, that's what I learned from your experience. Like,
yeah,
tell me how you dealt with this challenge. Tell me how you scaled your $100 million business. Tell me how you, you know, handle your personal situation, whatever it could be. You just get experience shares from everyone. And I think anyone can give advice. It's harder to give experience and then let the other person do it what they want.
Mm. Man, I love this. Steve, this has been so sick to learn more about this company. Like I said, I've been obsessed on these drinks for ages now. So it's been sick we've got to do this. I'm pumped that we're about to wrap it up and go do a podcast on your podcast in the sauna. Man, where can everybody find you on social media and check out everything you guys are doing then?
Thanks, man. It's been good to chat as well. Look forward to the sauna podcast as well. Jumping into your wins and learns. Look, Steve Chapman on Instagram, I guess. On LinkedIn is the same. Facebook, it really is. And then shinedrink.com, Shine Drink on Instagram, on TikTok's probably where we spend a lot of time now. But yeah, food Google now hopefully pops up somewhere. Maybe on Edge 5.
I just love it. And when you can check out these drinks in everywhere.
Yeah,
it was pretty much there.
Stores, Coles, Woolies, 11, BP, Caltex, Ampol, 7-Eleven, RJ's, House Farm, Woolies, Metro, and yeah, hopefully an in-person bit.
I love it, man. All right, one final question for you. If you were to go back to your 18-year-old self and give him 30 seconds of advice, what would it be?
I'd love to tell him that it's going to be okay. It's enough to give your best effort on the field and not actually win. I think it's worthiness of love, worthiness of self-acceptance. Like, I think you don't need to go proof to the world anything to get that love. It's in there already. It's inherent in you, and you are enough. Do it because you love it, not because you need someone else's love.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you got value from this episode, it goes such a long way. If you can just take 20 seconds of your time, leave me a 5-star rating and written review, then screenshot this episode and share it to your story. And make sure you tag me for that shout out. And until next time, guys, go out there and dream out loud.